Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be back home again. Last week, when we were traveling and ended up in Pennsylvania there and spent some time there with my sister's church and spent some time teaching there, and I was told that they had a visiting pastor coming in the following Sunday, and it happened to be someone that it was in the church that it was Leroy Lapp, and he was the one, a pastor there, when we left the Amish. And so he was one of those people that was instrumental in speaking to me in the time of when I found the Lord. But just thinking about that, it just took me back, I guess, 30 years in my life of where I was at then. And something that struck me there, and I would just like to leave with you guys here, is, you know, there was three pastors there that spoke truth to me and taught me. But there was a certain group of people in that church that really were instrumental in me making a decision for the Lord. And that was the youth. The youth were trying to follow the Lord. And they were doing it because they loved the Lord. They weren't just doing the right things when, you know, certain people were watching or the parents were around, but they had a sincere hunger and thirst for righteousness and truth. And that really, I was just reminded of that again, how that spoke into my life as I went from one group of people into another group of people, or from one youth group to another, and saw a huge difference. And so I guess I want to leave that with us here, and that we all speak into each other's lives. But as young people, you have an impact on people's lives. And even still today, when I'm with people and I see young people that are seeking out truth and pursuing it, it inspires me, and it makes me want to dig in deeper and follow the Lord more closely. And so I was just blessed and challenged by that as I processed that again this past week. This morning, for a message, the title of my message is Created in God's Image. And we were, I guess, as Melvin came up and shared a little bit this morning, you know, as we look into God's Word, you know, we're reminded of, if we're paying attention, we're reminded of God's truth. And as we read God's Word, if we take that and take it with us throughout our day, and I guess it reminds me of, you know, we remember that God created us and that we're created in His image, and that if we do that, it will impact the decisions that we make throughout that day, throughout our week. And so I guess that is what I would like to inspire us in this morning as we look into God's Word. I'd like to just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before You here this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together with Your people. Lord, I pray this morning as we look further into Your Word, I just pray, Lord, that You would, again, that You would just speak to us. Lord, help us to see the truth in Your Word that You want us to see. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that these things, that we could take them, that we could apply them to our lives, and that they would bear fruit in our lives, Lord. That we could become more like you, Lord. We thank you. And Lord, I do pray this morning that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 1 and just look at a couple of verses here that are very familiar to us. Genesis chapter 1, going down to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. In verse 31 here, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We see here, you know, that just a glimpse of God's handiwork and his creation. But verse 31, you know, after he spent this time here in verse 31, we see God just stepping back and looking at his creation. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God was pleased with what he had done. God created Adam and Eve in his image, and his desire for them was, and for us, is to be fruitful and replenish, to take care of his creation, and to have dominion over the creatures. And we see that God was pleased with the work that he had done. But as we continue reading in Genesis, we see that it wasn't long, and some of the things that took place, it didn't, you know, not all things that Adam and Eve did were pleasing to him. And because of those things, in Genesis 3, verse 16 and 17 there, because of the disobedience that took place in their lives, in verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then verse 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearken unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So if we look at life and we find ourselves getting discouraged because life is difficult and hard, you know, we can come back to these verses and we can get some understanding of why life is hard. And we can choose to blame Adam and Eve in this. But if we stop and take a good look at ourselves, we recognize that it is because of sin. And it's not only because of the sin of Adam and Eve, but it is because of our own sin that life becomes difficult and is hard. But we see this following mankind, and so we see that was the fruits of sin. And I would like to continue following Genesis and move to Genesis chapter 4, and we see God being pleased here. If we read this chapter in Genesis chapter 4, looking at Cain, at Abel and Cain, and again, I believe that we're familiar with this, but just a picture here that two young men or two men, and one God was pleased with. And maybe I'll just read this account just to familiarize ourselves again. In starting in verse 3 of chapter 4, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of that fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Would appear that, you know, we just look at these couple verses, that maybe there was, you know, it's like, well, I like, you know, Abel, but Cain, I don't. But if we continue reading here, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? In verse 7, he tells, you know, admonishes him and says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So we see that, you know, two men bringing an offering unto the Lord. The one God had respect unto, and the other he didn't. And, you know, Cain realized that his brother's offering was accepted, but his wasn't. And we can quickly get a picture of the heart here of what was going on. Is he recognized, you know, that his sin, that it was revealed where he was at, and how did he respond? His response was not acceptable, and tells us that he was angry. And God spoke to him and said, you know, why are you angry? If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And we know, you know, as if we continue reading there, that we see, you know, he continued and, you know, took his brother's life because he didn't like, you know, he tried to eliminate that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, just a couple of verses here, we can see what was going on here. 11, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain sacrificed in Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And then one more verse in Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. So we see the picture in the New Testament of these two men. You know, one had faith and the other one's life was, you know, wicked. And we see a life of, you know, it would appear a life of disobedience and, you know, tried to come to the Lord and show, it would seem like lip service, but his heart wasn't doing the things of the Lord, and that was revealed to him. And so, you know, we look at these two men, and we see two men here, and if we look into our own lives, who do we see? Do we see Abel, you know, a man that brought sacrifice to God and God was pleased with his life and, you know, his he was pleased with the sacrifice that came. But Cain, you know, his life, when God revealed to him that he was displeased with him, it made Cain angry. And he took it, you know, not only did he not listen to God, he eliminated his brother that reminded him of truth. And so, you know, we do well to observe our lives and see who are we representing, you know, who are we, whose example are we following. And I trust that our desire is to be like Abel and live, have our lives in order. And as we come to the Lord, that the Lord is, we hear the Lord saying that he's pleased, you know, with our offering. And, you know, if we're not, you know, if he does point something out in our lives that, you know, this is something you need to take care of. Do we have the heart of Abel and we allow God to deal with those things in our lives? So we recognize in Genesis that we're created in his image. In Colossians chapter 3, going down to verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So here we see the things of the flesh that we're to put away. But verse 10 here is the verse that I would like for us to remember as we leave here and as we face our week. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So not only did God create us in his image, we're reminded here in these verses that, you know, the things of the flesh, that we're to put those off and allow the Lord to work those things out in our lives and have those removed. But in verse 10 here, that we're to take on in, you know, that we're to not only look, you know, not only are we created in his image, but he wants us to take on the character of Jesus. Verse 12 in Colossians 3 here, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That we are, you know, the character of Jesus. And when we think about, you know, how he suffered and how he was willing to die and for our sins, and how Jesus has forgiven us, and how he continues to do that, you know, as we find ourselves falling short and we come to him, and he extends a hand of mercy and grace to us. And if that is real in my life and real in your life, you know, the call here is God created us in his image, and he wants us to take on his character. This kind of love, this kind of forgiveness, you know, a people that is willing to have a relationship with one another in spite of my faults, in spite of your failings. We pursue each other, and we have a relationship with one another. And when we do that, and when we meet people that are living that out, we are reminded of Jesus in our life, you know, each other. We remind each other of what the Lord has done, and we are a light to the world, and that will remind the world, you know, living this out in our lives will remind the world of who Jesus is. And we are attracted to those people, and the world is attracted to people that are living this out in their lives. In John chapter 17, a verse that has been dear to me recently, in verses 21 and 22 there, I believe, and I've touched on these verses before, but they've just spoken to me, And it gives me just another reason why we're to live this way. And that is that God wants his followers to be unified. And he reminds us that in these verses that, you know, as God and the as Jesus and the Father, as they had a relationship or were unified, that he wants us to be unified in that way. And, you know, the question that I leave with us as we is why? Why does he want us to do that? And he tells us that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And this is something that Jesus said, you know, that the world may believe. And so these things, living these things out in our lives, being unified and being having relationships, how important are they? Do we want our lives to be instrumental in people finding the Lord? If we do, they're that important. And so let's not lose sight of those things. We see in these verses, he wants us to experience joy in our lives. And he wants to protect us from evil. He wants to perfect us in unity. And he wants to see us filled with God's love. And again, you know, the reasons for that is that our lives would be able to show Jesus. He wants to show himself to the people through his people. When we look at, you know, Jesus' relationship with the Father, and we see his desire to please the Father, and we see that something that speaks to me often as I look at it, and that is in Luke chapter 2. We see that Jesus was inspired to do the work of the Lord. And in verse 49, we see that Jesus speaking to his parents here. If we back up just a little bit, we see that Joseph and Mary had lost Jesus, their son, and he was, they were traveling, and they backtracked, I think it was 3 days, if I remember right, and they were looking for their son for 3 days, and they found him here, and in verse 49, he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And so we see Jesus, he understood what the work was ahead of him, and he spoke that to his parents. But in verse 51, in spite of that, it says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And how often does that scenario come into our lives? We feel a deep calling. We know that God wants to work in me and through me. And we we feel like Jesus was feeling here in verse 49. You know, it seems like, well, dad and mom is like, you know, you need to come with us. And sometimes I believe that, you know, we feel like people get in the way of what God is calling me to do. But I, you know, God knows the channels. He knows the things we need to learn. He has a time frame in, I guess, the, you know, as I process this and look at how this played out and how things have played out in my life and continue to play out. And yes, you know, sometimes we feel frustrated and it's like, well, let's move this thing on. But God has, you know, when we follow, if it's truly from the Lord and we're seeking the Lord and we're giving it to the Lord and praying, if we do it the Lord's way, it always comes out right. If we do it in God's timing, it is always effective. And so, you know, let's not look at obstacles or people as, you know, let's view them, let's see, understand what they are and pray through those things and allow God's timing to work out as we walk through these. So the character of God, you know, we're created in His image. We're to take on His character. Where should these things start? And obviously, you know, we understand, we believe that they're to be, you know, lived out and worked out in my life. And that it's to start here in my own heart, and we understand that. But you know, when we don't see that working out in other people's lives, it's hard for us sometimes to say focus on that and allow God to just really work that out in my life. But let's understand that now, that God wants to work that out in my life, and that we would not lose sight of that. You know, He wants to work that out in parents, in youth, in our families. And as I think of that you know, if we don't allow those things to work out in my life, in our homes, the things that we're experiencing in our homes is in our personal lives is what I probably will bring to my church family. And we will, you know, so if we're frustrated, if we want, you know, this life to be our church experience, but we're not experiencing it in our personal lives or in our homes, we can't really expect something different. And so the challenge that we need to just look at again is, are these things happening? And I think that if we look in Ephesians chapter 6 there and look at the first 3 or 4 verses there, you know, it gives us a picture of what that should look like and the blessings of what our home, you know, how our home is supposed to be. And, you know, that, the relationships and the things that are going on in our homes, in our personal lives, is a picture of what is coming out of our hearts and in the homework that we've, I guess for lack of better words, you know, the homework that we do. Typically, if we're in a school setting and we're given homework and we do those things, we go home, nobody can see what I'm doing with that. But if I'm in my home where nobody's seeing and I'm diligently doing those things, you know, and guess what? When we place ourselves in the classroom setting and the tests come, it shows. It just, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, he did his homework. No, he didn't. You can pick him out. And so, you know, the things that are going on in our personal lives and in our homes, we can only keep a lid on those things for just a little bit. When the tests, you know, are given to us, it will reveal, you know, what's really going on. And so let's understand that. And, you know, let's take responsibility for those things. And so, you know, bringing us back to Cain and Abel, we see a picture there. You know, it was revealed in their lives of where they were at. And Abel's life was pleasing to the Lord. And Cain's life, not so. But, you know, the beauty that I see in that passage there is God didn't just like, yep, you missed the boat, it's over. But rather he spoke truth to him. You know, if you do well, you will be accepted. And that's the message that God is speaking to us here this morning. You know, if God is accepting your offering, your life, and he is pleased with it, that is amazing and wonderful. But the message that I would like to not lose sight of is the message that he gave to Cain. And I believe God was speaking to his heart and said, you know, you can change this. It's up to you. But you know what? What did he do? He was continually reminded of that, and he chose to take it out on his brother. Let's not do that. In closing, just a couple of pointers to remember is, you know, we are created in God's image, and we are called to take on the character of Jesus. And then a verse that, again, that I would like to remind us of in John 17, verse 22 there, that we would take these things on, and that we're called to do this, that the world might believe that he has sent that our lives would remind us of Jesus. And so may God bless each one of you.